Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, and from this child whose birth we continue to celebrate. He came into this world full of grace and truth so that you can have his peace. Even though the weather isn't always all that conducive, this is a time of year when there's a lot of visiting going on, which means there's probably a certain amount of traveling going on. So perhaps you were the ones this last week or so who were doing the traveling, doing the visiting. Perhaps there were some relatives that you went to. And so you planned out the trip and got the car filled with gas or bought the plane tickets, however you did the traveling. If that was you, welcome back. Glad it was a good trip. We pray that it all went well and you enjoyed the visit. Perhaps you're not the one who had to make sure the gas was full and that the plane tickets are bought. Maybe it was your job to make sure the refrigerator was full and the beds are made and the house was clean because the visitors were coming to you. If that was the case, I also pray that you enjoyed that time with family and friends, that it was enjoyable to spend that time together to visit with those you love. As we move into a new year, some of that is probably past. Maybe there's some visiting yet to do. Maybe you've got one side done. Maybe the other side of the family is getting together yet today or next weekend. Sometimes people wait the week or two in the January just because things are rather busy right around the Christmas time. Whether you've got any visiting planned or not, there is another visitor yet on the way. We read in our gospel lesson for this morning the Song of Zechariah. And twice he talked about the Lord visiting. The Lord comes to visit. We rejoice in that visit as well. Zechariah had just gotten his voice back. Perhaps you remember that when the angel appeared to him and told him that he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a son, he didn't believe it. He couldn't understand how is that all possible for somebody as old as he and his wife as Elizabeth to have a child anymore. And because of those doubts, because of that unbelief, the angel said, "You are no longer able to speak." Until now, he holds that child in his arms. He writes down on that tablet, his name is John, and his voice is given back to him. And he doesn't talk about himself. He doesn't even talk about his son. He first talks about the fact that the Lord comes to visit. He starts by talking about the coming Son of God. As you and I listen to Zechariah's song of praise, we're going to focus our attention on a number of the nouns that he uses, describing the things that the Lord brings when he comes to visit. If you're looking at your worship folder, you'll see that throughout the week, you're going to have an opportunity to take a look at some of the verbs. And then again, just as a reminder, don't forget that mid to late week, you can go to the website, go to the resources, click on the Bible studies, look at the little video, and we'll talk a little bit more about the verbs later on in the week. For now, let's focus in on these words, rejoicing in the fact that the Lord comes to visit. The first word we want to think about is the word redemption. Blessed is the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited us and prepared redemption for his people. If you redeem something, that means a price needed to be paid. The word has this idea of to buy back, to liberate, set free. Perhaps think of the idea of a ransom price. As soon as the ransom is paid, that allows the one who had been captive to be set free, assuming that the kidnapper is worth his word. This payment sets us free, no longer captive to sin. Our Lord and our Savior comes to visit. Jesus comes to bring redemption. And Zechariah sings this song and says he is coming to prepare redemption. He's coming to make redemption. Jesus didn't come to make sure you were paying what you owed. He didn't come to check up on your progress to see if you were paying off your debt. We know what we need to pay. We know what the debt is. We know that what we owe God is perfection from start to finish in all that we say, all that we do, all that we think, all that we are. We know that if we don't give him that perfection, then we owe him an eternity in hell, eternal death. That's the only payment that can be given for imperfection. We know all of that. We don't need Jesus to come and see if you're paying off what you're supposed to be paying off. Jesus didn't come to be nice and just kind of give us an idea of how this is going to go. And then he goes through the process and he says, okay, now that I've shown you, now you go make your payment. Jesus didn't come to put a down payment down, to get you started, to say, all right, now we're on the way, you take care of the rest of it. And Jesus didn't come to pay off your balance, to finish out what you had started. The Lord comes to visit. He comes with redemption. He makes the payment. All of it. In full. Which is why you and I know we're set free. Which is why you and I know we're no longer captive to sin. Because there is no doubt the entire payment necessary to set us free has been paid. Our Lord comes to visit and He brings redemption. That means you're free. The Lord comes to visit. Along with that redemption, He comes and He brings salvation. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, just as He said long ago through the mouth of His holy prophets. He raised up salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, in order to show mercy to our fathers by remembering His holy covenant. Salvation. Salvation has the idea of rescue. If someone is saved, they are in a position they can do nothing about. They are in a predicament that they cannot get themselves out of, and so somebody needs to come and save. He talks about the horn of salvation. You think about a horn, and perhaps you think about strength. You think about some of the horns on those animals and what they use them for. The strength as they use those horns to defend themselves. Maybe they use those horns to go on the offensive and go on the attack. And some of those horns don't even need to use them. They're just simply intimidating. And because of those horns, I'm not going anywhere near that animal. Along with that strength, the Old Testament people of Israel also had the idea of refuge. Maybe you remember that when the altar of burnt offering was built, there were horns that came off of each corner. And God told the people that if they were in any kind of danger, they were able to go to that altar. They were able to grab onto that horn, and that was their safe place. That was where they could have refuge. The Lord comes to visit. And He comes as the horn of salvation. He has the strength. He's able to give you that refuge. He comes and He rescues you. He pulls you out of a situation you can do nothing about. You got yourself into it. He's the one who takes you out, just as was promised. Just as He had promised to Abraham in our first lesson that He was going to be his God and He'd be the God of all of those who came after Him. Just as the second lesson told us, Jesus stepped into this world when the time was perfect, when everything was just right. He placed Himself under that law and He lived it perfectly so that you and I could be saved, rescued. The Lord comes to visit. He also comes with deliverance. As Zechariah sang about that holy covenant, he described it as the oath which He swore to Abraham our father to grant deliverance to us from the hand of our enemies so that we are able to serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. Deliverance also has the idea of rescue. The word salvation tends to focus its attention on the one who needs to be rescued, the one who's in a position he can do nothing about. Deliverance tends to focus more on the danger itself, the threat that's there, the danger that is there, and often causes fear. The Lord comes to visit. He brings deliverance. No more reason to fear. Stand before your God. Stand in front of that holy God and be absolutely amazed by the fact that there's nothing to fear. You get to stand before God and you don't have to worry that He's going to somehow call you on the carpet. You don't have to worry that He's somehow going to say, well, okay, now that was pretty good, but what about this? You and I have been delivered. The Lord comes to visit. He comes with that deliverance. He comes with that rescue. And now we can serve Him without fear. And notice when we can serve Him. All our days. An entire lifetime is an opportunity to praise our Lord and our God and to thank Him for what He does when He comes to visit. You and I marvel at this amazing opportunity to take every day of our lives as an opportunity to stand without fear. And as we praise Him every single day, He also tells us why we can do that. Because you stand before your Lord and your God, delivered in righteousness and in holiness. That too is an amazing thing. God looks at you and says you're righteous. He sees every thought, word, and action. Every aspect of life is perfectly in tune with His will and His ways. He calls you holy, set apart from sin and death, set apart as a special possession for Himself. He calls you His saint. You've been delivered. The Lord comes to visit. He comes with that redemption. He comes with that rescue. He comes with that deliverance. You and I get to stand before Him without fear. What an amazing visit He brings. And then Zechariah turns his attention to his son, looks at the one that he is holding, and sees that this is the one who is going to be able to serve as a prophet. And you, child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, because you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give His people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. There's the other thing the Lord brings when He comes to visit. Forgiveness. John the Baptist had the privilege of being the prophet, really the last Old Testament prophet. Yes, we hear about him in the New Testament, but he's still looking ahead. Not very far anymore. By the time John is doing his work, Jesus is standing right there, but he's still pointing ahead. Here's the Savior. Here's the one who is to come. I get to tell you about this one. I get to show you that one coming after me is going to come, and He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power. He's the one who's going to come with forgiveness. The sin is sent away. The sin is dismissed. The sin is gone. It's not there anymore. It's not stuck to our record any longer. The Lord comes to visit. Look at that coming Lord and see the forgiveness of sin that is there, completely wiped away. Amazing things this visitor brings. Redemption, salvation, deliverance, forgiveness. And because He brings all those things when He comes to visit, there's one more thing that He brings, and that's peace. You and I have that forgiveness of sins because of God's tender mercies by which the rising sun from on high will visit us, to shine on those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus is that rising sun. Jesus is the one who means that you and I are no longer in the darkness. We're no longer fumbling and stumbling around in the dark. If you've ever tried to move around your house in complete darkness, you kind of know how that works. You may think you know what you're going. You may think you know what you're doing. But you end up getting more and more lost. When you and I are stuck in the darkness of sin, we may think we're all right. We may think that everything is fine. But we're getting ourselves more and more lost. The rising sun comes, our Savior comes, the Lord comes to visit, and He sheds light on all of this. Now we know what's going on. Now we see where we are and where we've been. Now we see where we are going, and we get to walk that lighted path and rejoice in peace. Because the payment has been made. The rescue has been secured. The danger is gone. The forgiveness is there. There can be nothing else other than peace. Peace with your God. Peace now, even in a world that is troubling and upsetting, but an unchanging peace that is always yours. The Lord comes to visit. Enjoy the visit. Jesus doesn't come just because that's kind of what you do at this time of year. He doesn't come just to check in and see how things are going. The reason the Lord comes to visit is because He's concerned. He's concerned about His children. He's concerned about where you and I are. He's concerned about our eternal welfare. And so He comes. He comes with love and He comes with concern and He comes to visit and He comes to do what we need Him to do so that you and I know that we will be with Him forever in heaven. We know we're forgiven. We know we have redemption. We know we're saved. We rejoice in that deliverance. Jesus makes it possible. This child, this amazing child who takes us from slavery to sin and death, sets us free to be sons and daughters of the King. You have that opportunity to hear His word now and every day. And so rejoice and enjoy when the Lord comes to visit. Amen.